Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see y'all be able to make it out this morning. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and fellowship with God's people. Amen. Amen. King David says, I'd rather be a keeper at the house of the Lord. You know, be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord than anything else. It's just to be around God's people. Really, there's nothing better. You know, just being in that fellowship, being around God's people. The church is kind of a rest haven in a world of trouble and sin. You know, it's a rest haven. We get away from our co-workers that are ungodly, schoolmates that are ungodly. And, you know, just people who take God's name in vain, use it as a cuss word, that have no regard for the Lord, and might even try and tempt you to go along with things that are not right because you're there with them and they want you to be a part of them. And all the temptations of life, we get to come here and be free from that and be around brothers and sisters of like faith, like-minded, trying the best to do right and live for the Lord and encourage each other. And when we come here, it edifies us. Builds us up spiritually, strengthens us so we can go back to the workforce and continue to be a testimony as much as we possibly can. If we don't have this assembly, this encouragement, this spiritual boost that we need, then we will continually be going down, 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 and then become just as a child of the world all over again. You know, and the Lord, in His great wisdom, knew what He was doing when He established His church. And had His saints assembling together on the first day of the week, as you see in the Bible. Amen. You'll never see in the New Testament the saints assembling together on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a day of rest. You stay home and rest. You know, some would go to synagogues, and many of them would go to synagogues, but was not required by God to go to synagogues. That's just something that they did. I've read the Bible. I've looked for it. Trust me. And you know, but on Sunday, you see the saints assembling together and singing and preaching to each other. On the first day of the week. And, you know, the Lord knew what He was doing. He knows what we need. And I'm thankful for that. And to be honest with you, to be just completely candid with you, I need Wednesday evening services also. That service in the midweek really helps me a lot. This world is filled with temptations. Everywhere you turn, there's a temptation. There's a demand to go after the cares of this world. But thankful for the Lord's church. Amen. And for the opportunity to be in fellowship with God's people and sing praises to His name with God's people, hear preaching and get some challenge, some reprove, rebuking, and exhorting from the Word of God. Amen. And it better be that. Amen. Don't go to a church that gives only exhorting. And you never have to feel bad about your sin. Just always feeling good about yourself. Oh, just come as you are. God loves you. You don't have to change. God loves you as you are. You know, watch out for those kind of churches and those kind of preachers. Amen? We want the Word of God to convict us and change us to make us to become better people. Amen? I know that's going on here, so I'm just saying if God moves you to another state, find a good church that will preach the Word of God. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Amen? Amen. The whole week at camp, we've been kind of in a series of walking with God, putting God first in our life, so that God can do what God wants to do through our life. You know, the whole theme is the world needs the Lord. The world needs God. God wants to reach the world, and He has chosen to reach the world through us. And if we will walk with God, keep our relationship with God right, then He can work through us. And our first ministry in life, our first area of service, if we're going to be servants of the Lord, our first ministry is our family. First ministry. If we neglect family to do church work, then we've got things backwards. Things are not in right order, according to God's Word. Amen? And so our family is our first ministry. And then the church would be our second ministry. And then the community would be our third ministry. And if we will walk with God and keep that relationship with the Lord sweet, walk with Him, be emptied of self and filled with the Lord, then God will overflow from our life into our family. Amen? And as God is overflowing us, especially starting with the men, the head of the home, the leaders of the home, ordained by God to be leaders of the home. Amen? And especially as the men, but all the members, if they are filled with God, God will overflow you into your family, and God will reach your family and make a difference in your family and bless your family, encourage your family, strengthen your family through you. And then as your family becomes filled with God, God will overflow from your family into the church. Amen? And when there's many families that are just full of God, walking with God, loving their walk with God, when there's many families filled with God, the church begins to become filled with God, and God overflows from the church into the community. And now God is doing His work in the community. Now it's a powerful thing. It's not just the work of men, not another dead religion trying so many programs to make a difference, but powerless. Amen. When God's not in it, it's powerless. If it's just the wisdom of man, the strength of man, the might of man, it's powerless. And then when those men die off, the work is also gone. It's not eternal, it's powerless. But when God's in it, it's eternal and powerful. It's a great work, and there is no burden on us because it's God just overflowing and doing what God does. Amen? We don't have to be overwhelmed and overburdened. And so as children of God, we want God to use us. And I would dare say every child of God has in them a desire to serve the Lord and be used by God to make a difference somehow, some way. And I would say that because that's what the Holy Ghost is in you for, and the Holy Ghost will convict you and work with you. Amen? So that He might work through you. Amen? So God puts it in us to do His work and gives us that desire. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be afraid that God might call you to do something that you just don't want to do. You know, the Holy Spirit might be working on your heart about giving your life to God. Just quit living life for self, for money, for things, for bigger houses and more cars, for prestige or whatever. Quit. When the Holy Spirit's working on you to give that up, don't let the devil make you think, oh, if you give this up, God's going to call you to do something you don't want to do. Watch out for that. In one of our verses here, God will put it in you to do His work. He will put it in you to do His good will and His pleasure for your life. You are going to have a desire. It's going to be in you to do that particular ministry, that particular work. Amen? So don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, don't empty of self, be filled with the Spirit. God might lead you to do something you're not going to want to do. I've had friends say, I'm afraid God's going to call me to do this. Well, if you're afraid of that and you don't want to do that, don't worry about it. That when God wants you to do it, He'll put it in you, and there will be nothing else you want to do in life but to do that thing. Amen? It's just what the way the Lord works. And thankfully, our last lesson yesterday, thankfully God will put in us, He will give us the desires of our heart, the desires He wants us to have. Amen? As long as we delight ourselves in the Lord, as long as we're walking with God. The most important thing in your life as a Christian, nothing can beat this. Nothing is more important than this, your walk with God. Nothing's more important than that. Do you walk with God? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you read your Bible and pray every day? Do you seek His face? Amen. Do you know that He's with you? Do you let Him lead you and guide you throughout the day? Amen. A walk with God is not a devotional thing. Oh, I read a few verses. Great. I did my religious duty. I'm going to go and God's going to give me what I want now. No, we don't do religious duties to get from God what we want. Amen. We read our Bible and pray because we want to walk with Him. We want to talk with Him. We want to hear from Him. You want to hear from the Lord? Open your Bible and start reading. Read it seeking for understanding and wisdom and let God speak to you. Our relationship with God is the most important thing in life. If you're going to try and build your family without God, you're on your own. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You need the Lord to do it. Amen. Be filled with God. Amen. The Lord says that He will build His church. And if He calls us to serve, we have to let Him build His church through us. We have to let Him do His work. Amen. But if we're not walking with Him, then it's our church, it's our work, it's our ministries, and it's all dead works. Hey, you understand? Our relationship with God is first, even before we do ministry stuff. Otherwise, it's in our own power, our own wisdom. We need the Lord, amen. We must be walking with God. That's most important. And then, in our desire, our want to work with, walk with God, serve the Lord, be used by God, there comes many times throughout our Christian life, what is God's will for me? How can I know God's will? You know, I want to serve the Lord, and I'm looking for God's will. How can I know that this is God's will? Maybe God calls a man to be a pastor. And he gets the training, and then there's a church in this town that needs a pastor, and a church in that town that's calling and asking for a pastor, and another church in another town calling and saying, we need a pastor. So here's this guy, okay, God's called me to pastor. This church needs a pastor. Great. Oh, wait, there's another church here needs a pastor. Good. Oh, and the third, well, where do I go? He found God's calling to pastor, but now where is he going to pastor? You know, and so this is just a continual thing because God will lead us from place to place at different times throughout life. God might put you in one town for a while to work a job for a while so that you can reach those people at that job site for a while. God might change things up in your life and move you to another town or another job because there's some other people God wants you to reach somewhere else. We are God's children. We're His servants. This is not just pastors and missionaries and evangelists that God will call and use. You're a child of God. God gave you His Spirit to dwell inside of you so that He can flow out of you to reach people in this world to make a difference. Amen? God has a purpose for your life, and He will lead you throughout your life, different places, into different works. And you've got to be walking with God and be sensitive so you can know God's will in your life, God's calling, God's leading in your life. Amen. And so the main message today is, how can I know God's calling? How do I know that this is God's direction? And we're going to kind of take it in from knowing God's direction to actually seeing God doing it, confirming this is God's leading, confirming this is God's work that He has to do in you. Because when God calls you and you're walking with Him, you're going to see God do it. Amen. You're going to experience great things. You're going to see God do amazing things that you only hear about. We don't have to be Christians hearing about God working through people. We're going to be the Christians seeing God work through us. Be determined that you're not going to be the one hearing the stories. You're going to be the one experiencing these stories, seeing God work in your life, seeing God work through you and making a difference. Amen. I'm telling you, God wants to use you more than you want to be used by Him. Amen. He wants to use you more than you want to be used by Him. That's why He lives in you. Amen. Because He wants to flow out of your bellies as rivers of living water. We covered these verses in family camp. If you will, go ahead and get your Bibles out. And let's start off with Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I've just got so many illustrations. This is a fun subject because it's all over the Bible. But to just narrow it down and for the sake of time and just use a few verses, it's kind of difficult. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verse 13 here. And before we start reading scriptures and seeking guidance from the Lord in this area of our life, let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of His word and that the Lord will speak to us. Amen. As I pray, I just want to ask if you'll just also pray, say, God, please speak to me. Teach me. Give me something that will be a help in my life. There's so many different needs in the congregation. There's no way one message can fit every need except God's grace be upon it. Amen. And just ask God to speak to you. And I know that God will speak to you if you seek Him, amen, and desire to hear something from Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, once again for this opportunity to to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can sit together to read our Bibles and learn of you. Lord, I pray that you would fill this house with your Spirit. Lord, help us all to be emptied of self. Help us to forget about the cares of this world. Help us to forget about things going on at home or the games, the sports events, or whatever's going on. If our mind begins to drift, God, I pray you give us wisdom to bring our minds back and pay attention to the reading of your word, seeking for guidance and for wisdom from you and from your Spirit. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would help everyone to understand the interpretation of these scriptures, the reading, and that you might speak to us and convict us and strengthen us, Lord, to be the people that you want us to be so that we can be more effective in this world for your name's sake, for your glory, and for your honor. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, I pray that you would bring to my mind the right illustrations that would be helpful to get this message across. Lord, I pray your grace might be upon this time. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Amen. God's going to put it in you. When he wants you to do something, he's going to put it in you to do that thing. Amen. But we have to be careful in this world of busyness. So many things we've got going on, so many distractions. The world is always demanding our attention, our treasury, demanding our affection. The world is always demanding of us. We've got to be careful that we kind of block that out for a while and focus on the Lord, seek God's face and walk with the Lord and let God put in us and show us what he wants us to do. And as God puts certain things in you to do that are godly, that are right, that would be a help, that, you know, that kind of goes along with the scriptures, loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, God puts in you to show kindness to somebody. You just have that thought, oh, I should do this thing for that person. Oh, well, I've got a schedule. I've got other things going on, so I just keep my schedule. No, if you have a thought to do something that would be a blessing, a help, or a benefit to somebody else, to the glory of God, that's probably the Holy Ghost trying to lead you to do something, to be a blessing to somebody, to be a help to somebody, to be a light to somebody who is seeking for the Lord. Amen. Learn to be led by the Spirit. Learn to walk after the Spirit. Learn to let God put in you to do what he wants you to do from day to day or from time to time, whatever it might be. Amen. If you've been living your life out without doing anything for the benefit of other people, you're not living the proper Christian life. If your whole life is filled about self and your work and your money and your house and your yard and your car and everything about you, and then you come to church, oh great, got my necktie, my Bible, okay, I'm serving God, and then you go back to you, it's all about you, you're not living the right life. Amen. A Christian life is a life of service, a life of giving. Amen. Give unto others. Let God use you to serve and minister to other people. When God puts in you to do certain things, just do it. Amen. It might be a new thing to you, and you might have this thought to make a cake. I used this illustration before. Make a cake and put a gospel track with it and give it to your neighbor. And tell your neighbor, hey, I just want you to know we think about you and I pray for you. I just want to give you this cake. If there's anything you need, let me know. You never know. If you have that thought to do that, and then you look at your schedule, oh, I've got all these things. Okay, and you just try doing that and see what happens. Do that. And then next time you have a thought to do something, it's going to be easier because you experience doing what the Lord showed you to do, what God put in you to do. And just learn to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. Learn to do these things as God puts in you, and you'll start seeing God do amazing things in your life and through your life. Amen. In 1 John chapter 3, if you'll turn your Bibles here, 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. So God will put in you to do his will. And sometimes you have desires to do things, but there might be two different directions to go. You might come to a fork in the road in your life, and you must make a decision. Do I go this way? Do I go this way? You know, maybe God puts in you to go to a college, to pursue a career in a university, or God might put it in you to go to a Bible college. God might put it in you to get married, you know, and you come to this fork in the road. Okay, well, what college do I go to then? You know, I believe God's calling me. God put it in me to be an engineer. God put it in me to be a lawyer, a doctor. God put it in me to give my life to full-time service. So what college or where do I go to study and train for this? There's many colleges out there, many options. And so how do you know which direction to go? Well, this can help us right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "And hereby know we that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." This applies in every aspect of life. Primarily, it's talking about knowing your salvation, you know, but this, we get saved by grace through faith. We live out our life by faith, depending upon God's grace, because we're not worthy to be used by God. Amen. And here God gives a scripture that if we want to know God's will, if we want to be assured of the Lord about something in life, if our heart condemns us, if we feel like there's something not right, you know, we come to that fork in the road, what direction do I go? We start to go a direction and we just don't feel right inside. God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. If you're not feeling right about that, you better stop. Amen. Don't try and force it just because it might have more money than the other direction, more prestige, or whatever it might be. Don't try and force it. We're trying to seek God's will and God's leadership so God can do according to his perfect will in us and through us. Amen. And that's the whole purpose here. We want to live a powerful, victorious Christian life. We come to that fork in the road. What direction do we go? Okay, I don't know what direction to go. Well, okay, prayerfully make a decision, not forgetting that God will never lead you to do something that contradicts the Bible. Just for a short, quick example, I had a friend in Bible college who was praying about work, and he was working a job and he wanted more money, so he had evenings free, and he got this, he was offered a job to be a bartender, to serve liquor in the restaurant. He wasn't serving food, but in the restaurant, he was going table to table serving liquor. And it was a job that God provided for him, so he took that job and he's serving the Lord, and he's doing what God gave him. I beg to differ. The Holy Ghost is never going to lead you to do something that contradicts the Word of God. God's not like man. He's not a fool or like man that he would forget that he said something and later on tell you something different and say, "Oh, wait a minute, that's right. I told you, I'm sorry, I made a mistake." No, God's not like that. Amen. He's not going to contradict himself. Amen. So as you're trying to make a decision, do I go this way or that way, prayerfully consider the direction. Sometimes both ways are okay. No problem. Not sinful, not against God's word, and you're still trying to figure it out. Start to go in a direction, and if you feel something inside that just doesn't feel right, if your heart's condemning you, God's greater than your heart. He knows all things. Amen. There's probably something really bad down here. When I was in Bible college, I met this girl that she was already serving the Lord, and I was advised by some wise pastors, if you're going to go serve the Lord, find a girl that's already serving God before you even think about getting to know her and marrying her. So there was this girl that was already serving the Lord. She was doing some working in the detention centers for teenagers. You know, the detention center, you know, they get in trouble with the law and they go to the detention center. She was going there and doing Bible studies with these people. She just, on her own accord, just went there and got a time with them and was doing Bible study with them. And she was involved in the bus ministry, you know, just serving the Lord. And I thought, hey, this might be good. And she's pretty and she's serving the Lord. She's pretty and she's also pretty. You know, the teenage boy, you know. And so I began to pray, you know, about this person. And, you know, God, is this the one? And we began to get to know each other and like each other. We went on a missions trip to Fiji with a group of people together, and she was there, and she felt like God called her Fiji, and God showed me at that time to start preparing to go to Fiji as a missionary. And so I'm thinking, hey, this must be it. But whenever I thought about talking to her, I was not dating her. We were not doing dates and boyfriend, girlfriend. I just knew her and we were friends and get along well. And I began to pray and ask God if she's the one. The Lord wasn't telling me anything. So I thought, well, maybe I just, try and find God's will and, looking under the rocks and the bushes and God's trying to hide his will from me on this thing here. And I'm going to make it happen. I will find God's will and this is going to be it, and trying to work this out that this is God's will. And every time I thought to talk to her about a future, my heart would condemn me. I never had peace to talk to her about it. And I just didn't know why, but I would find verses, like Pastor Simeon was, I would find verses to justify, oh yeah, this must be, she must be the one. But when I would be around her, no peace. And then eventually in time, I ended up going from that Bible college in California to Oklahoma City, to Heartland Baptist Bible College. And she stayed with the school that started out there in Oklahoma, long story. And she stayed there, and then she ended up going to Fiji to do missionary work by herself to help out a missionary. And she got offended by the missionary. Everything didn't go the way she was told it was going to go. The ministry she was invited to do, she ended up not doing. She just became like a babysitter for the missionary. And he and his wife would take off to other islands and leave her with the kids to take care of the kids. And she wasn't doing the ministries that she was told she was going to be able to do and start up. And eventually she got offended and she went back to the States. And last I ever heard of her, I saw a little letter, email, saying that I will never give to missions again my whole life. And she's out of church. What if I forced it? She wanted to marry me. Her mom wanted her to marry me. So I'm thinking, hey, God's with it. God's in this. but to talk to her about it, my heart wouldn't condemn me every time. I'm so glad that I wasn't stubborn and demanding my way. I'm so glad that God was good enough to prick my heart and convict me about going this direction and marrying somebody that with an offense is going to drop out of the ministry and church altogether. I never saw that coming. But so thankful. I wouldn't be in the ministry today if that happened. Not this kind of ministry anyways. I'd be, Lord willing, at least in a church helping somewhere. But, the Lord knew if your heart condemns you, God's great in your heart. He knows all things. Don't force it. Don't just back off. Either it's not time or it's not God's will. Amen. And pursue the other direction. Amen. When God's in it, God gives peace. He gives you confidence. Complete peace, this is God's will. Amen. And if you don't have 100% peace as you're walking with the Lord, amen, don't get away from God and then start seeking God's will. You want to know God's will? Get back with the Lord. Be close to Him. Amen. It'll be a lot easier to hear His voice when you're right beside Him. Amen. And the Lord speaks to you in a still small voice, not in the lightnings and the thunders and the winds and the earthquakes. You remember Elijah? Look for the whirlwind. The Lord wasn't in it. The earthquake, God wasn't in it. The fire, God wasn't in it. It was a still, small voice that God spoke to him by. You better be close to the Lord when you're seeking God's will. You're going to hear his voice. He'll make it clear and you'll know. Amen? And he'll be leading you and guiding you. I remember when I was getting ready to go to Fiji as a missionary, a lot of my friends would ask me, are you sure it's God's will? And I'd be down. Well, I don't know. So I begin to pray, God, is this really your will? And I went to Fiji again the second time in 1998. We went there, and I went just for the purpose to pray and see if this is really God's will for me to be in Fiji. I didn't want to be outside of God's will. I didn't want to go to the mission field without God. Amen. I didn't want to go into a ministry without God with me in that. I don't want to do it on my own. That's too burdensome. Could you imagine dealing with people and all their troubles all by yourself? No way. I wanted the Lord to be with me. So I went and I spent some days to fast and pray and seek God's face. And I'm trying to find God, what is your will? How do I know it's God's will? And I really prayed and said, God, can you just give me a lightning bolt? Just let it lighten outside and I can know that you're with me in this. Or could you just send an angel to tap me on the shoulder and say, I'm an angel of God. He sent me to tell you. why don't we get this like we hear about in the Old Testament? Lord, where are you? I want to know. But it was none of that. It was only until I was surrendered, God put in me each day according to his will. I just began to go day by day with the Lord. And in time, God showed me, this is the place. You start preparing for this place. And God begins to open the doors and just makes things happen. It's no burden to us. When we were, Renee and I, we were on staff at Bethany Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. We were there. We didn't know how long. We thought maybe 2 years we'll work in the church and serve there and get ready to come to Fiji, because our pastor, we got married. I already knew I was heading to Fiji. And when I got married, I thought, great, I'm married. I'm going to Fiji. And my pastor was wise enough to say, wait, you just barely met your wife. You got married. You might want to spend some time and get to know her a little better before you take her halfway around the world away from her family. And as soon as they, you know, I was zealous, I was ready to go. But as soon as they told me that, it was like the Lord said, you better listen. This is right. And I had peace to accept what they were saying. If I wasn't walking with God, but I was on my own, going to go to the mission field on my own, I wouldn't have listened. I would have just drug her halfway around the world away from her family, and it would not have gone good, would it? It would not have worked. We wouldn't be together. We wouldn't be in the ministry today. I know for a fact. It was by God's grace that God used him, and thankfully, I was smart enough at that time to listen. Amen? It was God that put it in me. You better listen to what he's saying. And I had peace that what he's saying is true. And then in time, the Lord began to open the doors. We were at that church for a little over 2 years. God just began to open the doors and show us, it's time, start preparing. Start getting ready. Get ready to go deputation. I didn't know how we were going to come to Fiji. I didn't know if we were going to do deputation, raise money, or just go and work on the field. I didn't know. Just whatever God wants. But God began to show us it's time to start going, starting deputation. And so we were talking about a vehicle, what we're going to do. In church one night, after we had talked to our pastor, you know, that I believe it's time now. God wants us to start. And he says, I agree. It's time to start getting ready to go. And at, one night at church, our pastor mentioned that the Warnakees are getting ready to start their deputation. They're praying about it. He's going to start making phone calls to book meetings. And so we just need to be in prayer for them. And all of a sudden, one guy raises his hand and says, what are they going to drive? Because they knew that we, the car that we had, what are they going to drive? They're going to drive that all over the country? Another guy stood up and said, let's just start raising some money and see if we can buy him a motorhome. I'll give $1,000. Another guy says, yeah, I'll give $1,000. I'll give $500. All over the auditorium, they just, right there in front of us, just gave a bunch of money to buy us a motorhome to travel around. We didn't ask for that. And I didn't even see it coming. But God provided that motorhome for us to drive around the country to raise support. And we were on deputation for about a year. And we didn't have our full amount that we were advised to have. But God began to show us it's time to get ready to go to Fiji. Well, we're only at like 80, 85% support needed. And God says, don't worry about it. I'm with you. So we began to move in that direction to go to Fiji. God opened the doors. God provided the way. By the time we got on the mission field, like settled, it cost, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars that we did not have. But God provided it, and he opened the doors, and we're on the mission field. After all the visas, just everything that goes along with it, it's very expensive. And I had no idea. If I knew, I probably would have been worried and try and work extra money or work extra work to save it. But the Lord knew. He began to open the doors, and God provided every step of the way, and he just made it happen. Amen. And on, when we're there on the mission field, as we're there, this is where I met Pastor Simeon. I didn't know where to go. Okay, great. I'm on the mission field. I'm where God called me, but now where do I go in Fiji? There's 108 islands that have people on them. Many towns, villages, cities. Where do we go? So now I'm seeking God's will where to go in Fiji. So now God shows us in Ba Town to help a friend with the ministry that he had, and which he had a Bible college, and that's where I met Pastor Simeon. And so what a privilege to get to serve the Lord there, get to know Pastor Simeon, become good friends. We went many times to villages, soul winning together, just all over the place, witnessing and, you know, doing Bible studies in different villages here and there, wondering where is God going to take us to start a church? And we're praying, God, where would you have us to start a church? We're here. We should start a church. We're still seeking God's will. Other people back in the States, oh, they're fulfilling God's will. They're on the mission field. As if they heard God's will and they went and that was it. No, we're still seeking God's will continually. Amen. And this is the Christian life. Amen. God will show you one thing. You go there, there's something else you need to know. You know, what is it, Lord? God will show you. You have to continue to walk with God every day till the day you die. And let God lead you. Amen. And so we have this Bible study. Well, let me back up real quick. I've got to watch the time here. Okay. Well, I've got a million stories. I'll keep y'all now. When I went to Fiji on my missions trips, is what really burdened me. What it was like the nail in the coffin, if you will. Do you guys use that term? It was the final that the Lord showed me the need throughout the islands to get the gospel to all these islands. Several islands without a gospel preaching ministry. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith in Him alone. And many islands without this, and I was burdened for that. And I began to pray about it, and I believed that when we were going to go to Fiji, we would just start doing evangelistic meetings, traveling around. We planned on getting a boat, a little sailboat, and we went to many marinas and looking at the boats, and we were trying to figure out what to do, how's this going to work out. I was almost went to take my pilot's license and get a plane and just fly to the islands. We're trying to figure out how to get to these islands and evangelize the gospel in these islands, and that was my heart. That's what I believed we were going to do, but we didn't get a boat, didn't get the plane. God wasn't in that, and now we're in Fiji, and we're doing Bible studies in different villages, and I'm thinking, I believe God wants us to go to all these islands, but it's just not happening. It just wasn't time yet. You'll hear in a minute. It wasn't time yet, and I didn't know. My thought was, we're going to go right up to the island, and we're going to present ourselves to the villagers, and they're going to be happy that we're there and say, hey, Mai Kana, you know, come and eat and sit, and, you know, this is what I'm thinking. But I didn't know that you cannot just show up in a village and say, here I am to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to you. I didn't know you can't just do that. You've got to be invited. Somebody's got to bring you in. I didn't know that when we were there in Fiji. I think Pastor Simeon was with me. Do you remember Brother Siureli, Brother Israel in Barotu? Hey, did you go with me to do some Bible studies up there with him? Okay. Yeah, I thought that you had gone up there with me. So it seemed like you had, but there was I was doing these Bible studies in this village, right in the village. And he was inviting us to his home. And I asked him one time, you think we should talk to the chief and let them know what we're doing, that we're here in your home and in the village? And he said, no, don't worry about that. He was very zealous for the Lord. Forget my culture, forget my ways. We got the gospel, we got the truth. And that's, you know, it was that kind of, he was excited in the Lord, but not too wise. So I'm doing Bible study in his home. People are coming from the village and hearing the Bible studies and getting saved. And this Bible study is growing. The chief's brother didn't like what was going on. Because it was a Methodist village. And our Bible study was just across a little courtyard from the Methodist church in this home. And the chief's brother didn't like it. So he came over one night right in the middle of our Bible study, and he's yelling outside the door. And so Brother Siureli, he gets up there and he goes, he's standing at the door and he's yelling in Fijian. I haven't even been there a year yet. And I'm picking up words, but I don't understand everything being said. But he's yelling at him, and Brother Siureli, he's starting to get frustrated. No, this is my home. You know, he's saying in Fiji, and the guy sitting there was telling me what was being said. And he's like, no, this is my home. I can do whatever I want in my home. I don't care about the village. This is my home, and the man of God is bringing the word of God to my home. It's my choice. And the guy's yelling, this is our village, and you're not supposed to be bringing another church into our village. And you know, he's telling me what they're saying. And then Brother Siureli steps out there because this chief's brother is not going to let down. He's insistent that I'm going to be gone and this is not going to be happening. So Brother Siureli steps out there and gets in his face. This is my home. And then the guy pushed him and then they're on each other. Boom, boom, back and forth. And now I'm jumping up out there going out there to, you know, try and get in between this. And as I'm going out there, here comes another Fijian guy running across the courtyard around the truck. And I'm thinking, they're coming after us. So I step back, and I've got my fist clenched, you know, and I've got my fist ready. Do I fight? Do I defend myself? And I'm praying to the Lord, God, show me, what do I do? Do I need to defend myself, or do I take a beating for the gospel? You know, you just, because you hear so many stories, you know, sometimes they take the beating and sometimes they fight and win. So, and I'm thinking, you know, and I'm praying, Lord, show me what to do. And I was willing whatever God wanted. And I've got my fist ready, and he comes running around, and I'm not getting an answer from the Lord. I don't know if I'm going to fight or take it. And he comes running around, and he's coming up, and I've got my hand ready, and he comes up and puts his hand out for a handshake. He puts his hand out and shakes my hand and says, don't worry about this guy. Don't listen to him. He thinks he's the boss around here. He's not the boss. He's just the chief's brother. He said, you can come anytime you want. And these guys are still on each other fighting and rolling around. And so okay, well, let's go. And so we separate these guys and break it up. And so I told Brother Cirelli, don't worry about it. I'll go. And I've got this plan in my mind, which would be perfect for Fiji, to come back and humbly present myself to the chief with the tambua, you know, the whale's tooth, which they won't reject. You know, bring it and apologize to the chief for not doing the right protocol of the village, and use that to get the whole village together and say, well, this is what we were here for, and just preach the gospel to all of them. And shortly after that, Brother Cirelli, we met again, and he told me, you remember that guy? He said, he's very sick. He's laid up in bed, and the whole village is telling him, because you chased away the man of God. God sent his man to bring his word to our village, and you chased away. That's why you're sick. You have to apologize. He says, no, I won't apologize. We're a Methodist village. He doesn't belong here. And he's sick in bed. The next week, I see Brother Cirelli. He says, that guy died. And the whole village is saying, because he chased away the man of God and wouldn't apologize and make it right. And they all believe this. You know, and I'm not going to try and convince them otherwise. I'm going to let them believe it. I'm going to let them believe it. You know, and so, and eventually Brother Cirelli said, you can come to the village anytime you want and do Bible studies. And so that showed me that we cannot just go into a village and just start preaching the gospel without any trouble or conflict. And we tried in a village of Novala, could not get in there. The chief just refused. It was a strong Catholic village. And until one day, this guy, Alan Brooks, he meets the Prime Minister of Fiji. And Alan Brooks, he's from America, he goes back, and he took a picture with the Prime Minister. He kept looking at that picture. He prayed for the Prime Minister of Fiji. And one day he thought, you know, I'm going to see if the Prime Minister will let me bring Bibles to Fiji and share the gospel in every school in Fiji and give everybody a Bible. So the Lord worked it all out. He came, met the Prime Minister, they gave permission. He raised money, brought Bibles to Fiji, and as time goes on, now we've got a church. You know, the Lord worked it out that we have a church. God provided everything for the church. We didn't have money for land. We didn't have money for buildings, but God provided it, and God's providing a workforce to help evangelize these islands. And I didn't know, you know, it wasn't the right time. I was talking to my pastor when we were there in Fiji for a couple years, and there's no church started yet, just Bible studies here and there. And some churches saying, hey, you start a church yet? You know, the churches are supporting us. They want to see a church started. Hey, you start a church yet? Oh, no, not yet. We're just serving the Lord as God leads. And so my pastor said, don't worry about it. He said, either you're not ready to start a church yet, or the people aren't ready for a church yet. Just keep doing what God gives you to do. Y'all listen. Just keep doing what God has already given you to do. Be faithful in that. And in God's time, it'll all just start working out. Amen. And so we're doing this Bible study in one area called Vunisamaloa. And Pastor Jimmy knows these people in Vunisamaloa. And doing this Bible study in an Indian's home, an Indian from India. You know, in his home, his family gets saved. People start coming, family, people from the area start coming. People are getting saved, and this congregation is growing now. And I was talking to Renee, we need to find a central meeting place to have a service with these people. And same week, when we go back for the Bible study, these guys are coming together saying, hey, we need to find a place that we can have a central meeting place, you know, a church place. And we said, yeah, okay, God's in this. Let's pray about it. And so I told them, let's pray about it and let's look and see. The next week, two guys came and said, hey, I found a property that we can get. Another guy, I found a property. Okay, let's jump in the truck. We'll go to yours first and then we'll go to yours. So as we're going, the guy's leading us. We pull in this property. The other guy says, oh, no, wait, this is my property. This is one that I found. And so they both had found the same piece of land. And so we pulled in and we prayed about it. And the landlord was wanting to sell it for a church. And he was already a pastor, an Assembly of God pastor. But he was wanting to sell it for a church, for any church. And so he was happy to let us come in and start using it while we work out the finances and everything. And we didn't have money to buy this stuff. We didn't have money to make this happen. But God showed the place and God began to provide the money. And we started meeting there and we put a tarp on the ground, put up some bamboo posts and stretch a tarp over that. Were you there then and to see that? No, that was so, Brother Pastor Simeon had already come back. But we just put up a tarpling and we were meeting under that and began to get the money. The money started coming in. God provided. We bought the land. We built a wooden structure, more permanent structure with the cement floor. And we were meeting under that. And then a cyclone comes and blows it away. Cyclone Winston. You guys might remember that was a Category 5 cyclone. Came and just wiped it clean. Nothing left on the foundation, just the cement slab. And when we were driving up to see what happened, we couldn't see the building anymore. It was gone. And we looked at each other and just kind of laughed. We just kind of chuckled. You know, God had provided and did all this stuff, but now it's taken away. But we knew that God, we've already seen the Lord provide. We've seen God do what He's called us to do. Amen. And God's providing and God's making these things happen beyond us. We didn't have it. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 before I continue on with these stories. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. back there, the T's are together. Thessalonians and Timothy. Now, this is one by faith we must embrace. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. God calls you, God's going to do it. God leads you into something, He's going to do it. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you don't have enough money. Oh, you don't have the ability. Oh, you're not a good talker. You stutter in your speech, or you're just not a good orator. You're not as good as that amazing person. So don't worry about it. You know, don't let the devil try and keep you from doing what God's calling you to do as if you didn't have it. I assure you, you don't have it. I'll just let you know up front. You don't have it. But when God's calling you, by faith, follow, go forward with the Lord, walking with God, and watch God do it, what He calls you to do. Amen? You want to see the hand of God in your life? You want to actually see God and know that God is with you, that God is real? By faith, just go. By faith, just do what He puts in you to do, and you're going to see Him do amazing things through you beyond your ability. Beyond your capability. He's going to do amazing things. Amen. When this building blew down in Cyclone Winston, we just kind of smiled. There was a great sense of faith. God's doing something. It's okay. We were thinking about building over the top of that and then taking the building out from underneath because it was getting too small for the congregation. But God did some free demolition for us and took care of that. And then just we just went in and started rebuilding. And we didn't have the money to rebuild, but God provided it. Amen. There was this, one preacher from America was visiting Kiribati, a mission work in Kiribati, and Fiji was a layover place for him. While he was in Fiji, one of his friends said, hey, let's go and look at the cyclone destruction. And you'll see what the hurricane did to this place. And so they came up and they came to our place where the church was. And we were out there cleaning up. The guys were pulling nails out of boards and trying to clean up and get things, you know, save the wood that they can to start rebuilding. And I was sick, so I wasn't able to be there and be a part of that. But this this preacher saw that and just helped a little bit and then went back, went his way, went back to America and explained to his home church his journey. You know, I went to Kiribati. When I was in Fiji, I went and saw this little church that was blown away and helped a little bit there and then went here and then went, you know, went back home. So he just mentioned briefly, about a week later, a young couple in the church came up to him and said, "Pastor, I don't know what it is, but God put it in us to give to that little church out there in Fiji $10,000, which, you know, U.S. dollars, which was 20,000 Fijian dollars. A big thing for us in Fiji. And just something God put in them to do." And so the preacher sends an email and says, "Hey, this couple out here is wanting to send some money." And, you know, so they send money, and then we have some people in New Zealand that hear about it, and they sent some money, and people in Papua New Guinea started sending money. We never asked for money. I mentioned this, I don't know if it was last Sunday or in the at family camp, but we made a purpose. We are never going to ask for money to do God's work in this place. If there's needs, we're going to pray and talk to the Lord about it. If God's in it, God's going to provide for it to be done. Amen. And that was our goal. We did not want to teach the people, the new Christians, "Hey, when you want something, pray and then go beg everybody. And then when you get it, from begging, you can say, 'Oh, look what God gave me.'" God bless. It's a lot more fun when you have a need. Don't tell anybody. Don't ask anybody. Talk to the Lord. "God, this is a need. If this is what you're doing, it's a need that we have. I just ask, Lord, you provide. Please provide. Take care of this. If it's not your will, you don't take care of it, no problem. We'll look elsewhere. We'll do something else." Amen. And so, all of a sudden, just from all over, this money's coming in. And we ended up with about 52,000 Fijian dollars to build a brand new structure, cement, good, solid building. Pastor Simeon just preached in it recently. The Lord provided all that way beyond us. We didn't have it. I can't build that building by myself. It's all cement. That'd be dug deep down in, all the rebar in there, the steel and up. And just. But God provided laborers, even guys that we never knew, came and just visiting friends, wanted to come to church, and they were helping out for a while just at the right time we needed help for particular stages of the building, and they went back to their village, and I never saw them again. But God provided everything, every step of the way. When God calls you to do something, God's going to do it. He knows how to bring in helpers to get it done if there's a need. He knows how to bring in money to get if there's a need for money. He knows how to give you the ability to talk if you need the ability to talk. Whatever it might be. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. I'll tell you this story before we come to a close. There was this young family when we first started this, the church there in Fiji, this little ministry. One of the first families coming was an Indian family. And this guy, his name was Gaya. It's a name of a Hindu god, but his name was Gaya. And so Gaya and his wife were coming faithfully, just loved it and enjoyed being in church and enjoyed being Christian and just really enjoyed. And then his sons, Mahesh and Mukesh, would come on occasion just, you know, to be in church with their dad to make him happy because he would always tell them to come. So while they're coming, the Lord led me to teach on giving. The principles of giving from the Bible, you know, tithes, offerings, and missions. And just, you know, explain from the Bible, what is this? What is missions? What, you know, and as we're doing this series through this, talking about giving, we're in the place now where if you give, God will give back bigger and better than you give. Have you guys ever experienced that? Can I see your hand if you have seen God give back bigger and better than you've given? Everybody look around. See, it's not just for one person here and there. This is God's promise. Amen. And so I'm explaining this to these people. If you give, God will give back bigger and better, and you have treasure in heaven, things that will go with you forever. We were needing this little building, this little house, a really small one-room house that was connected with our property. It was empty for several months, and we were needing a Sunday school place. You know, we've got enough kids coming out into Sunday school. So we began to talk with the church. "Hey, let's pray about buying this here." And we prayed about it, had peace, talked to the landlord. He was happy to sell it to us. Perfect timing. And so, okay, let's start saving our offerings. And when we have enough, we'll buy this house. It was going to be $2,000 to buy the house. And So great. So we'll start saving money. You know, the offering that comes in, offerings were really small. You know, these are farmers. They don't have to have money to survive. They live off the land. But so their money was small. And so the next week, Gaia has his sugar drops and he passes away late Sunday night. And his family calls, so we go and we do his funeral, the first funeral I ever did. I did a funeral for them, and I learned then that funerals in the islands are very burdensome to the family. If some in your family dies, people from all over comes to hang out for a week or two for that time of mourning and for the funeral time. They show up with no bed, with no food. They just show up. And you've got to provide housing and provide for them, take care of them. It's a burden on the family when somebody passes away. And so I'm seeing this. I'm seeing what's going on. And next Sunday, we have our service, and we have our biggest offering that we've ever had. It was $91 and something cents. And the guys were impressed. Hey, that's a big offering. You know, the guys that were counting it, that's a big offering. And I thought to myself, we should give this to Gaia's family to be a help, to help bear the burden. And I'm wanting to watch their attitude. Are they learning about giving, or are they still going to be greedy and try and pinch and hold on to everything they get? Are they going to be willing to let go? And as I talked to them about it, every one of the guys, one by one, yes, we can't keep this money. We must give it to them. We have to help each other. We're all in this together. And what a blessing that was. Just, I mean, joy filled my heart to see these guys. Because before then, the reason why I want to preach about giving, because they were hoarding and pulling and the hook and crook and connive. And, you know, just, it was about money. Money was their God. And to see them willing to let go of this and give it to be a help to another, wow, what a blessing. So now we gave our whole offering away that was supposed to be for the house. We're trying to raise $2,000 for this house. $91 we give away. The next day, this guy that I knew from a kid that went to our church, I hadn't seen him in years, never thought I would see him again. All of a sudden, I get this phone call. He's in America. He calls him. We're there in Fiji. He says, Josh, is this Josh Warnicky? Is this really Josh Warnicky? I said, yeah, this is Josh Warnicky. He said, I've been trying to find you for months and trying to get a hold of you, and finally I got a hold of you. And he said, I came across some money. He got a military settlement from being wounded. So I got a settlement, and it's more than I needed, and I just want to give to mission works and just be a help and a blessing. And I specifically want to give to development for land, for buildings, or anything like that. Are you guys involved in any projects like that? So, well, actually, at the time, as a church, we're trying to save money for this house. And, you know, I don't remember if I told him the amount, but we're just trying to save money for the house. And he said, okay, well, is what I've got planned out, I'm going to give you $632.47, something like that. You know, and then next month, I'm going to give you $500-something. You know, he had it already planned out. Okay, well, great. Thank you, brother. Thank you for, you know, thinking about us. And then so he gives that money. When I counted it up, it was $2,200, almost something like that. So enough money to buy the house and to buy a sink to put out there so everybody can wash your hands after eating. Amen? And so when he had told us and sent that money, the next Sunday, we were still in our series about giving, God blessing, God giving more than you give. So I was able to use this as an example. We gave that $91 to be a help to the family. God gave enough money for the house. The money, the $91 was for the house. It wasn't enough, but we were saving it. And God gave it for the house. They were rejoicing. They were so excited. One guy named Mahesh, Gaia's son, he starts coming, and he's liking what's going on, and he starts getting involved. And when he saw that God gave the house, when we gave away our little bit of money that was for the house, God gave back bigger and better. He was so encouraged in the Lord. He went and he worked extra jobs cutting grass around the area there. It's a farming, they call it a village, but it's no chief, it's just a settlement. He was out there cutting grass to get more money to put in the offering plate to see what God's going to do next. Amen. Their faith is growing in the Lord. They're seeing God work and God doing things. We didn't have money for that house. And the money that we did have, God put in us to give away. And gave it away. Happily. And then God gave the house. When God calls you, God's going to do it. Amen? No matter what. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Amen? God provided every need in that ministry, every step of the way. At the last, before we left, the congregation was too big. We needed another vehicle. We didn't know what the Lord was going to do. We prayed. We talked to the church. We need another vehicle. They understood because we were making several trips in and out. The first group that came would sit for over an hour before church would start because they're waiting for the van to come back again from another area and another area. And if we can just get one vehicle to go to one area, one side of the region and pick up a bunch of people one shot, it would save a lot of time. We were praying about it and again, didn't ask. But somebody in America heard, you know, a friend, you know, just told me, yeah, we were just, because they were concerned about the ministry, knowing that we needed another vehicle. They came through and visited, and they saw what was going on, and then called and asked, and said, hey, how's it going? You ever get another vehicle for all those pickups? Oh, no, not yet. And said, well, I talked to the church. We're going to give how much? $30,000, I think it was. $48,000, something like that. We're going to give $48,000 to help you get a vehicle. Oh, wow. Well, thank you. And then the Lord provided for us to get a brand new vehicle, which is better because if something happens, you know, the dealership will keep it going for you. The locals ain't going to keep it going, you know, if it breaks down. But the Lord provided every step of the way. And this is just a little piece of what God has been doing in our ministry, in our life. If you just give your life to the Lord and just follow and walk, you're going to see the hand of God. You're going to know God's real. You're going to know that God is with you. And what joy that brings, what pleasure to see God work in your life, work through your life, get to see the hand of God. Too many Christians live so many years in doubt. Well, I'm just not sure. I hear of these stories, but I never get to see them. You know whose fault it is? You know whose fault it is that they don't see the hand of God in their life? It's their fault. And I know, because I've been there. I had a period of time where I was wondering, God, where are you? Are you real? Where are you? I don't see any great things. It took time for God to develop me, to bring me to the point where I just do what he says and just trust him. Amen? And start seeing the hand of God. And you know God's there. You know God is with you. Jesus came to give life, life more abundantly. And only those who can die to self, put God first in their life, be filled with God and be led by God, those are the ones that will live that more abundant life. Amen. The Christians who are too worldly minded, they love the world too much. They just love their shows, their movies. I'm not saying movies are bad. There are bad movies. Many Christians just give themselves to these things. The Christians that are so worldly minded, they just love the world too much. They love their career too much. They have no time for God. They're the ones that don't live the more abundant Christian life. They're the ones who doubt God's existence. They're the ones who pray and pray and pray and never see anything happen. God tells us all throughout the Bible to pray, pray, pray. If God tells us to pray, there has to be something in it. Amen? And he tells us many times how to have our prayers answered, which we covered a lot of that in the family week. Amen? At the family camp, God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He wants to use you more than you want to be used. You just have to walk with God. Let him lead you. If you're going a direction that your heart condemns you, stop. Don't force it. Don't make a mistake. Amen? Stop. Step back and just wait. Or go another direction that you have peace to go in. Amen? And watch God open the doors, open the windows of heaven, and pour out blessings and do amazing things that nobody can say you had the ability. This had to be of God alone. Amen? You can't take credit for these things. Amen? When God's doing it, you can try and take credit and share glory, but God will stop that flow. You know, he's not going to share his glory with anyone. But as long as you're serving the Lord, living for God, people are going to see God in your life. People are going to experience, and they're going to say, only by the hand of God, thank you, Lord. And through your life, people are giving glory and honor and thanks to the God of heaven. Amen. Your life is magnifying Him, making Him big, so that people can see Him. They can see Him clearly and know who He really is. Amen. Live for the Lord. Walk with God. You must put Him first. Amen. And when He leads you, don't doubt. Just go, and you will see God do it. He does work. There's no burden. No burden in serving the Lord, really. It can get busy. It can get wearisome. But God gives us our rest. He gives us our time, our breakaway. But it's no burden because God does it. He does everything. What a joyful, powerful life to live. Amen. With everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed, as the musicians come, I do want to ask if there's anybody here today. You're sitting here. The Lord brought you to church. It's not by accident that you're here. God put it in you to come, and you came. You're here today. I just have to ask if there's anybody here this morning, you're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure that God's with you. You're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You've never had that 100% peace with God that you know you're going to heaven. If there's somebody like that, I would like to pray for you. Could I see your hand? Could you slip up your hand? Let me see your hand so I can pray for you. My prayer won't save you, but I'm going to ask God to give you the faith that you need that would cause you to realize and that you can experience that salvation in Jesus Christ. I mean, anybody like that, just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I would like to know for sure. I would like to have that complete peace with God. I just don't know for sure. Can you please pray for me? Anybody like that? Amen. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? There can be nothing more important in life than for you to know for sure you're going to heaven. Amen. We know that we all will die one day. We better be ready. Make sure you're ready. You don't know when you're going to die. You can't promise tomorrow. We cannot promise tomorrow. We don't know when our time will come. Most people die at young ages. The majority of Earth's population die at a young age. Don't boast of tomorrow. Don't put it off. Make sure you know for sure you're going to heaven, that you have that complete 100% peace with God. Make sure you know that God is with you. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you just being honest with yourself. You know that you have not been seeing God's hand in your life. You've been doubting the Lord. You've been wondering, where is God? Is God really there? I don't get to see Him. Where is He? If there's anybody like that, I would like to pray for you also. Can you just raise your hand? By raising your hand, you're saying, preacher, I don't get to see the Lord. I don't see these things that people talk about. I've been wondering, I've been doubting, where is God? Is He really there? Is He really with me? I would like to pray for you also. Thank you for that hand. I've just been doubting. I don't know. Where is the Lord? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Preacher, I haven't been seeing the Lord. I want to see God. I want to see Him real in my life. I want to experience this more abundant Christian life. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for these who raise their hand, some about salvation, some about just wanting to experience Your power and Your presence in their life. Lord, I pray that You would be with them. Give them the faith that they need to trust You, to trust Your promises and to trust Your word, that they will just forget the world and give everything to You, that they'll be willing to sell all that they have to possess this pearl of great price. Lord, I pray that You give them that faith. God, I pray that You would reveal Yourself to everyone present in this congregation. Lord, give us the faith to keep Your words and to trust You and walk with You and see amazing things. Lord, I know that You desire so bad to reveal Yourself even to the lost people, that they might know where God is, that they might know the way of salvation. Lord, help us as Your children. Help this church as a light of God in this community to do great works, that You will use them to do amazing things for Your name's sake. Lord, please help this church not to be satisfied with the great things of the past and talk about the stories of the past, but help them to look for greater things to come. You still exist. You're still with us. You have us here for a purpose. Lord, help us to seek to fulfill Your will and trust you to do your work through us. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this invitation time. Help us to respond to your Spirit and to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.